Morning, everyone. So we're in this series on the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Dear church, sounds like a letter written to a church. And we have seven of them, and we've covered four of them. And the fourth one ended with these words. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's the appeal to us. If you have ears, listen to the Spirit. So I want to take a side trip today. Alden Groves will talk about the next letter, letter number 5, next week. But let's talk about the Holy Spirit today. The appeal, not just in that letter, letter 4, but a number of them, is if we have ears to listen to the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit. And let me start here. You might know the words of the Great Commission. Make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name, singular, not names, plural, of the Father, the Son, and here comes the third one, the Holy Spirit. One name for God, clearly God, use the term Father, but the Son is in that name, and the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is in that name. Three persons, one God. And we're going to talk about that third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, here. Did you know that those three persons of the Trinity, what a mystery. The three persons have three different roles in our redemption. To save you, to save me, to save sinners. It took the work of three persons of the Trinity. For instance, the Father did not die on the cross. The third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, did not die on the cross. It was the second person of the Trinity, the Son, who became human flesh, only Him, and died on a cross and rose gloriously on Easter day. The third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, has a different role. Jesus explained this role so simply. When He was in that upper room before His death with His disciples, and He says, I want to tell you what's coming next. I'm going to end up ascending to the Father where you cannot see me anymore at His right hand, but I'm going to ask the Father. And He's going to send a helper, an advocate, a Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth. And here comes the simple description of what the Holy Spirit's role is in our salvation. He says this really simply. He dwells with you and will be in you. John 14:17. Jesus speaking about the role of the Holy Spirit. Now that Jesus is ascending on high, now it's time for this faith to go global and to go deep within our hearts, inside out. Applying Jesus globally and within us, He is going to be in you and with you. Two beautiful prepositions. God in you, God with you. That's the Holy Spirit's job. I haven't talked about the Holy Spirit enough up here. And some of you asked me, hey, when are we going to talk about the Holy Spirit? Well, let's do it. Especially when the appeals are in these letters. If you have ears, listen to what the Holy Spirit says to the church. I won't cover the so-called extraordinary gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you're expecting me to talk about prophecy, speaking in tongues, I'm not going to do that. Remember, I heard a pastor once say, he was warning other pastors, he said, you know what, if you preach through the entire book of Revelation, which I want to do when I grow up, If you preach the entire book of Revelation, people will be listening to you to find out what 666 means. And after you say that or you don't say it, they lose interest. I don't know if that's true. But maybe the same thing with the Holy Spirit, that it's the extraordinary gifts. And the most interesting questions, that those are gifts given to some people at some times. But the appeal here, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now we're dealing with the work of the Spirit in all people, all believers, in all times and places. And specifically, walking with the Spirit. That's what I want to talk about today. All of us charged to listen and to, and this is my phrase from Galatians, one of my favorite phrases on the Spirit. Paul uses this. We'll read this later. Keep in step with the Spirit. I don't know if you've ever heard that phrase or seen it in Galatians 5. Keep in step with the Spirit. All right, to do this, I have 3 points on the Holy Spirit. Here's the first one. If you love the Spirit, if you are excited by the Holy Spirit, then I have great news for you. He wrote a book. If you love the Spirit, if you are excited by the Holy Spirit, I have great news for you. He wrote a book. Actually, 66 books. Now, I say this because this is what Jesus taught us. Jesus said, David, speaking by the Spirit, said, and then he quotes Psalm 110, written by David. He didn't just say David, who had some great ideas. David, who was a pretty spiritual guy. David, speaking by the Holy Spirit, he says. The Spirit wrote a book. And so Jesus can say other things like Scripture will not be broken, cannot be broken. Yes, it's written by David. Yes, it's written by prophets and apostles, but at a more deeper level, by the Spirit of truth, as Jesus says. So you might know the most famous verse about the Bible itself. Paul saying all Scripture is breathed out by God. Not just by the human authors, although that's quite true, but at a deeper level, breathed out by God. Now, why am I pointing this out for number one point? If you're excited about the Spirit, I have good news for you. He wrote a book. Because we need to tune our ears to the Holy Spirit. And this is the way we get trained to do that. Let's say you're making an antenna. I have an electrical engineering background. I don't know much about antennas. I didn't take antenna theory, but I know a little bit. Antennas have to have the right geometry and the right circuitry. So if you want to build an antenna that listens specifically to 52 megahertz, not 53, not 51, but 52 megahertz, you have to build it with the right geometry. And if it has circuitry with the resistors with the right value or capacitors with the right value, and you want to tune that in the lab, don't take it out to the field for an application too quickly. So in the lab, you set up a signal generator that generates a signal at 52 hertz, megahertz, not 53, not 51. And you see how the antenna works. And if you have to modify it, you train it there. And then when you go out in the field, you're not fooling around with it. Maybe getting noise on other frequencies or something. You know, your antenna is tuned. And that is same thing with the book the Holy Spirit wrote. It grounds us. It tunes our antenna for what the Holy Spirit says, what the Holy Spirit sounds like. Because when we go out there in the real world, at work, at play, at school, you ever wonder if the Holy Spirit is leading you, speaking to you? And it's easy to get confused. I don't know if you've ever been confused thinking, I want the Holy Spirit to lead me. And really, you think the Holy Spirit's leading you, and then you realize later, maybe I was just in a good mood. Maybe I just had a good cup of coffee or Mexican lunch. Now, you think I'm joking, but I'm not. That we can confuse bodily states with the Holy Spirit. And other things we could confuse. Things we think are true. Things we want to be true. And this grounds us. This tunes our antenna for the Holy Spirit. No wonder Jesus himself kept pointing people back to the Old Testament. How much more should we also be pointed to the New Testament, the words of the Spirit? I remember when I was all excited. A lot of sermons come out of personal autobiographical things. Here's one. I was all excited about the Spirit. I hope I still am. But I mean, in a way, in college, that I was doing some pretty weird things, you might say. Stepping out in faith is great. But I did other things. I gave all my money away, which was easy. I was a college student without money. But I kind of hedged my bet. It was kind of weird, but I was wanting to see how the Lord would miraculously provide for me, for milk and things like that, essentials. And I went to this Bible study. You ever have a moment where a fellow Christian says something and it just reveals your heart in a moment and you know it? And I can remember when this Young Life staff leader came down from Columbus. He was leading a Bible study. And he says, and I made some comment, and he could see what I was doing. And he just says, you know what? That's good. We just got to be careful that we're not Christian thrill seekers. And as soon as he said Christian thrill seekers, I thought, oh, that's what I'm doing. I'm manufacturing this for a thrill. And there's something about the Holy Spirit when we jump into this topic. We could be not just relying on the Holy Spirit, believing the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, stepping out of our comfort zone, the Holy Spirit might lead us. All those things can be good. But let's be grounded first. Tune our antenna in this book that the Holy Spirit has written. So, let's do that. And before I get to my second point, now comes our passage. Inspired by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. Galatians 5. Let's see what Paul says about living by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, having been grounded. Now, what's he going to tell us? Galatians 5. And this is page 975 if you're using our black Bibles here. We have about 11 verses to read. On practically, we're getting practical, walking by the Spirit, living by the Spirit. Let's see what he says. Galatians 5, starting at verse 16 through the end of the chapter, what I now read are the words of the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. If out of all that, I want you to focus on one part. It's verse 25. I want to read again. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Now, reading this takes me to my second point. Living by the Spirit means far more than passing a Bible exam. So that first point is maybe for potential Christian thrill seekers, to be grounded in the Word of God and what the book the Spirit has written. But this one, this point, is for you Presbyterian nerds out there. Living by the Spirit means far more than passing a Bible exam. We can have the words of the Spirit, the Word of God, on the brain, but not in the heart, not in the bloodstream, not fully penetrating us. And this is what Paul is addressing, a challenge. And I love how he's trying to talk practical. You hear the practical metaphors I just read or figures. Walk by the Spirit. You know, there's not much more mundane activity than walking. This is what we do, most of us. If our bodies are fully able, we walk from here to there. It's ordinary daily activity, and that's what Paul's saying. Walk by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, this is the famous fruit of the Spirit passage I just read. You know, fruit on a tree is the outworking of what the tree's been working on internally for a long time. And it's the outward manifestation of it, the fruit, practically speaking. And then he says, in the verse I just highlighted, if we live by the Spirit, verse 25, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. What do you think that verse means? Look at that again, verse 25. What's the difference between the first part and the second part? I've asked myself this. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. It sounds like the same thing. Live by the Spirit, but then he says, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Here's what I think that means. You ever gone, if you're an adult, you ever gone on a hike through the woods with a child, maybe your child, maybe you're a teacher, and that child or children are with you on the hike, kind of, but they're falling behind, or they're running ahead. You hope not getting in poison ivy. Don't eat that. They're with you, but they're kind of in the area. That's different than them keeping in step with you. Keeping with you. I've had times hiking through the woods with my kids where I wish they were keeping in step with me. That we would be able to talk. That we would be with each other in a more close way. That's the image I have here. So the first part, if we live by the Spirit, in general, that's referring to all of us. If you're a believer, living by the Spirit in general, going on a hike, but maybe wandering around, maybe falling behind, having to be called back forth, you know, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Stay more closely with the Spirit, moment by moment, step by step. This is not what everyone wants from religion. Some might only desire fire insurance. Some might desire other things, but this close relationship, keep in step with the Spirit, we might not want that. That's the challenge for us to look at our hearts and say, well, why wouldn't I want that? Why do I want to be off doing my own thing? Wouldn't I not want this benefit of redemption, the Holy Spirit in me, the Holy Spirit with me, moment by moment? And so Paul encourages us, keep in step with the Spirit. There's more blessings in the Christian faith than you might know. Why, Paul? He says, well, because there's a battle. Verse 17. The battle is between what? We could say Satan and God, or there's a number of battles we could say, but the one he says here is flesh and spirit. And your flesh causes you to do things you don't want to do. He says there's a battle in you. Verse 17, For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit. The desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. You might say, what's wrong with the flesh? God created it. Didn't God create the body? And that's true. And so every once in a while, someone might say, well, the body doesn't count. And we would correct them and say, you know what? God created the body. It's good. Creation is very good. He gave us the ability to enjoy food or enjoy marriage. And he's going to raise us bodily. Jesus was bodily and was raised bodily. The body's good. But this is a different point here. Probably one that's more needed for most people. That the body can really tempt us into just seeking whatever pleasures the body can deliver. We see this in children. Maybe we fail to see this in ourselves as adults or to underestimate it. And Paul's calling attention to it. The flesh can drive us. We understand this sometimes as addiction, where it's not just you. This is the way things start a lot of times. Our flesh says, ooh, dabble in that pleasure, dabble in that pleasure. And after a while, you realize you're not riding the horse. It's riding you. It's in control. We call that addiction, but we know it's more than just what we label addictions today. The flesh can dominate us towards all kinds of pleasures, all kinds of desires. And Paul lists them here. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries. I'm not getting what I want. And the Spirit, on the other hand, teaches things like self-control. Or how about love? Because you're not just being dominated by your own desires. The powers of the flesh. Paul says that there is a battle going on inside of us. Someone has said, this is an old saying, maybe you've heard it. There are two dogs fighting inside me, battling. Well, which one wins? The one I feed. And every once in a while I've heard a Christian say, well, that's not exactly correct, just two dogs fighting, but I don't know. Seems to be what Paul's saying in 17. These are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. There is a struggle, so which one are you feeding? And Paul says, keep in step with the Spirit. Keep open to walking with the Spirit. Seek after the Spirit, hearing the Spirit. What do you want me to do in this situation? And the Spirit might, what did Jesus say? What does the Spirit do? He will remind you of all things I have said. Do you want the Spirit to bring to memory the things that Jesus has said? To bring his encouragement, to bring maybe his rebuke? Keep in step with the Spirit. This is related again to our seven letters. Where as we covered last time, the seven letters, the Lord keeps talking about works. I know your works. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. And it's like the fruit of the Spirit here. Love, joy, peace, patience. In fact, those were some of the works that were credited to Thyatira. And Paul's saying, those are the works of the Spirit. For those who are walking with the Spirit, and the Spirit is in you. Moment by moment, this is the kind of fruit. And this is the kind of self-control and love towards others. If we are open to that. Let's go to our third and last point here. The Holy Spirit is self-effacing, pointing us towards Christ. Now, we don't use this term self-effacing much, and you can see what it means. It means not calling attention to oneself. It's been said that the third person of the Trinity is the forgotten member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the one we talk the least about, and That's true, and maybe I haven't. Maybe we haven't. Maybe you haven't talked enough or thought enough about the Holy Spirit. And walking with him, as Paul's bringing up, this is crucial. But then again, there is something to this, that the Holy Spirit does not call attention to himself. It's not his job. Now, maybe you've never thought about this before. Listen to Christ's words, again, from the Upper Room Discourse in the book of John. This is John 16, 13 through 14, where he's explaining the Holy Spirit's job in your life, in my life, his job in redemption. Jesus said this. He, the Holy Spirit, again, not an it, he will glorify me. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. That first part. He will glorify me. And hinted at here is the self-effacing quality of the third person of the Trinity. His job is to point us to what Christ accomplished through sweat and work and pain on this cross, on Easter, through his earthly ministry. He will glorify me, Jesus says. The church I grew up in had a beautiful big cross on the side of the building. And at night, there was a floodlight on the ground, casting light on that cross. That floodlight is like the Holy Spirit, glorifying Christ. He will glorify me, not calling attention to himself. Floodlight does not light a floodlight, but casts light on something else. He will glorify me. How? And Jesus explains, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. He will take what is mine and declare it to you, I heard somebody say, and I think this is right. The Holy Spirit is the FedEx guy. FedEx guy delivers packages. And the Holy Spirit takes what is mine, what Christ won for you on the cross. Forgiveness of sins. Life eternal. A changed heart. Hope. Joy. All of that that he won for you and for me, he takes that and declares it to you, the FedEx guy. He delivers it to you. He will glorify me by taking what is mine and declaring it to you. Listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Think about Pentecost. Acts 2. The explosion of the church, the first Christian sermon, Peter preaching, and there we see the Holy Spirit in power. Christ said he was going to ask his Father for the Holy Spirit, a helper to be sent. He comes in power, tongues of fire. Remember that scene? If there's ever a scene where the Holy Spirit is evident and at work, but even there, when Peter gets up to preach, empowered by the Holy Spirit, who is he preaching about? Primarily, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. Jesus' death, his resurrection, the fulfillment of Holy Spirit scriptures in the Old Testament. It's all pointing to Christ, and that's what he's preaching. Even when the Holy Spirit is coming down in power, like a floodlight, like the FedEx guy, it's about what Jesus has done. So, if you are a Spirit-filled person, if we are a Spirit-filled church, we must be gospel-centered also. That's what the Spirit causes us to be. Gospel-centered, I mean the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, resurrection, and all of that. And yes, that means something about the Father. That Christ gives us access to the Father himself who loves us. And yes, the gospel says something about the Holy Spirit. That Christ has won that for us too. Pouring out the Holy Spirit, bringing the benefits of Christ into our hearts. But a truly Spirit-filled church and person, if that's you, will be gospel-centered because the Holy Spirit will glorify Christ. So, to end here, let me return to that wonderful verse, and that's where the name of this sermon is from. And that is, what does it mean to keep in step with the Spirit? If we live by the Spirit, and that's all of us, if you are in Christ, the Holy Spirit is in your heart. He says to challenge us further. Let us also walk by the Spirit. Or said in another translation, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So the idea here is draw even closer to the one who is given to be with us and to be in us. And that might mean that there's moments where you want something. Your flesh wants something right now. It could be your belly physically. It could be something in a relationship with other, and you are tempted to rivalry and dissension. And that's where Paul says, keep in step with the Spirit who trains us against such things. He speaks to us. If only we desire this, if only we would ask and want for the Spirit to direct us moment by moment, step by step during the day. What does that look like for you? What moments are you tempted by the flesh? As you read Paul's list, some of these lists might jump out at you. It might be dissensions. It might be rivalry with someone at work. And Paul says, yeah, there's a battle going on inside you. The flesh doesn't want what the Spirit wants. So keep in step with the Spirit. Walk with the Spirit. It starts right now as we go to prayer here to end. As we'll have a moment of silence, and this is the point here, do you ask the Spirit to help you walk closely, that He would speak to you, encourage you, remind you of good things, remind you of hard things? Let us ask for that as we go to prayer. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray to you, the triune God who worked our salvation. Holy Spirit, we pray by you, even prayers like this. Sometimes we don't know what to pray for, and you help us. You are in us. You are with us, and yet sometimes we turn down the volume dial on you. We wander away and do our own thing, and we hear the words of Paul saying, keep in step with the Spirit. Keep walking with the Spirit. So Lord, we ask that the Spirit would stay near us and we near the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for providing us a book that the Holy Spirit has written. Help us to give attention to this book. Help us to know that it's more than a Bible exam, though. Oh Lord, we want to live by the Spirit moment by moment, keeping in step with the Spirit. Help us, Lord, we pray. Amen.